Job chapter 1, we are going to read from verses 20 through 22. Job chapter 1, 20 through 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let us pray. O God, our Lord and Father, we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see with the eyes of faith, the reality, who Jesus is, that he is our Redeemer, that he is sovereign God who controls all things, who called us out of darkness unto marvelous light of his gospel. And we ask that your Holy Spirit help us now to understand these verses, to encourage your people, convict us of your truth, heal our souls, and bless us, Lord, to learn more of you, more of our Savior, whom we praise and worship, and we pray in his name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that is a deadly statement. And not only that, each one of you, each one of us live with some kind of consequences of your past sins. And the degree of those consequences are various from person to person. For some of us, those consequences are worse and heavier than for others. And because of those bad and sad consequences, sometimes you wish, if only to go back and fix my past, fix my words that wrongly spoken, my bad decisions, my sinful choices that we made in our past. So do you wish so? Do you regret? Of course we do. But do regret and are anxious without hope? Or do you trust in the Lord? No matter what consequences you have now because of your sinful past, do you keep trusting in the Lord? And this is the question. So my sermon tonight called Resting in the Providence of God. Resting in the Providence of God. And I pray that the Lord help all of us to have assurance, to have that resting in the Lord, that his best favor for you. And because the Lord has his best intention, even in the negative events and bad consequences in your lives, and his covenant faithfulness in the midst of all your sufferings is still as sure as it was with Job. So to understand God's providence, I have 3 points tonight. What is the providence of God? What does this specific providence, why does this specific providence comes to you, to your life? And how are we to receive and respond to this God's providence? So what is the providence of God? In the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27, you can read on your own, what is the providence of God? But here in Job 1, let me summarize a little for you. There was a man, it says, in Job 1 earlier, in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. He was perfect. That man was upright and he feared God. And he eschewed evil. And he had seven children. Seven sons and three daughters. He was a very rich man because God put hedge around him and his house and all that he has. On every side, God blessed Job and blessed the work of his hands. And he increased in his possession. So good providence and good lot was given to Job by God. You see, it is by God. And Job was thankful to God for that. Because we read, out of gratitude, he would rise early in the morning and worship God. Children, do we rise early out of gratitude, like Job, to worship God? He would send and consecrate his children and would offer burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. In their hearts, thus Job did continually. So you see, Job was a righteous man. But not only that, he also was a very wealthy man. And all of it was a good providence. It was a good providence to be righteous and wealthy. But then we read the devil's accusation. That Job is righteous only because God gave Job all wealth. God stretched his heavy hand upon Job after that, after the accusation. But this is what the devil did. He said that Job is righteous because he is wealthy. It's easy to be righteous if you're wealthy. If your hand, a blessing hand, is upon him. God says, okay. So he stretched his heavy hand upon Job, and God took everything that Job had. Everything that God blessed him with was taken from him in one day. All that he possessed was gone. And you know, he possessed a lot. Besides his children, he possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. Many, many servants. And it all was gone in one day. He even lost his children. And God even afflicted Job with terrible skin disease. It says in Job 2, verses 7 and 8. So everything was taken from this man. Just think about it. What a test for one little man. He lost everything. So why bad things happen to good people? Why good God allows bad things in our lives? When difficult times come, people tend to question God. Is this God all-powerful God? Can he prevent bad things in this world? People ask these questions in times of crisis. And sometimes people blame God only to refute God's goodness. But what did Job do? After such terrible things happened to him, Job did not ask these questions. After all, he trusted the Lord. He trusted God's good providence. And it is recorded for us here. Job never questioned God's goodness, God's favor, God's power, God's plan, and his good intention for his life, even in the midst of suffering. It says here in our text, that after all of this, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. And we know that it is God who sustained Job in his misery and afflictions. He was supported by the Holy Spirit. And he was able to remain faithful. Because God is faithful. God remained faithful to him. Therefore, Job, according to verse 22, in all of this, he did not sin or charge God foolishly with wrong. Because Job believed. Same as the Apostle Paul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Romans 8:18. Same as Apostle Peter. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Peter 4:19. And I know, people of God, that from time to time, you as well, you go through difficult seasons in life. Sometimes things are very rough, like conflicts in the family, like lost employments, financial struggles, divorce, cancer, and death happens to us, to you. But what the Lord does, He calls you to rest in His providence. Why? Because He says that He is good God. Because God is good. And you know, no matter what, God took care of the worst problem in your life. The worst problem in your life. Your sins. Your sins, they were the worst problem in your life. Not actually the consequences of your sins that we struggle with, that we suffer now in this life, but sin, actual sins. They were taken care of by the Lord on the cross. They were nailed to the cross. And by that cross, you are healed and restored. And you have peace with God. And through this Savior, we can ask God to help us with anything. But in the midst of the storm of life, Apostle Paul calls us, do not lose your heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And yet, when things are so bad, and you may be overwhelmed, and you want to ask God question, God, why me? Why me? Why is this providence comes to me, to my life? Why I need to struggle? Why I am poor? Why I have these health issues? Why I have this calling, this cross? Well, I'll give you the answer. You know, we laugh at one of the most used evangelical phrases. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's actually not a lie if you address the church and Christian with these words. This statement is an answer to this question. Why me, God? Why is this providence comes to me? Because God is in control. Because God loves you, according to the scriptures. And God loved Job. And he had a wonderful plan for Job, for his life. Because God wanted to receive glory through Job's perseverance. God wants to receive glory through your perseverance. God wanted His holy name to be praised, and He won once again to put to shame our enemy, the devil, the world, and the flesh. And we can read about Job's later life in Job 42. After all the terrible things and afflictions happened to him, God blessed Job once again and gave him even more than he had before. Job 42:10. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. This verse points us to heaven. We begin here, and we have our journey up to heaven. And you may rest assured that as you go through these temporarily afflictions, it's because God loves you and wants to bless you more afterwards. God loves His church, and He has a wonderful plan for His church, for every Christian, to make you rich in Christ. Because He sits you down with Him in heavenly kingdom. And after all His afflictions, Job worshiped God. And God blessed him twice as He had before. And how much more He will bless all of us in Christ Jesus. So this blessing of Job points us to heavenly blessing, a blessing that will never perish. It will never perish because Christ died so that we may receive all of heavenly blessings. Did God die for our earthly blessings? Only? Did God die for your bank account? For your toys and cars? Even your good health? Jesus died so that we may have eternal life in heaven and have eternal fellowship with our Lord and with all the saints. But meanwhile, God, what is He doing? God is in His mission. He has a mission to sanctify you like a gold, to purify you like a silver through the fire, like a surgeon with a scalpel, to cut all that He doesn't want and need to see in your life, your sins, to make you purer. And God did not promise you easy cruising in this life, that your life will be painless. But actually opposite. God promised us much hardship in this life. Persecution. Pain. It began in Genesis 3 when He cursed Adam all the way to Revelation. When the dragon is following the church. So this curse is with us, even with Christians. And this is our doctrine of sanctification. Christ says that all those who love me will be persecuted for my name's sake. God Himself will afflict you to make you an instrument for His own glory. Job accepted the providence of the good God. Although it was bad at the moment, yet ultimately it was good for Job. And Job said in chapter 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end He will stand on the earth. Job was looking beyond, looking above to the blessing of the forgiveness to redemption. He didn't see it, but you did. He didn't see to his earthly possessions, but he was looking beyond to heavenly blessing, beyond the measure, which is beyond the measure. When you enter the paradise to be with the Lord forever. So why, God, this providence comes to me? Because God says, because I love you, my children. You know, God doesn't say why not. Because as sinners, we do deserve even worse, but God doesn't sarcastically says, why not? You are a sinner. You deserve worse. You're worse than you think you are. But instead, God gave us His only Son, who is in God's good providence, is slaughtered like a lamb for the sins of His people. The most terrible, most evil event happened in the human history was the slaughter of innocent man, God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So all that comes to your life today is from God. And it is according to His wisest and loving and good providence. We can't avoid it. We can't change it. You are there where God wants you to be. So you must humbly submit and receive it. Receive His providence. Take up your cross and be faithful to your calling. Does your cross so much heavier than Christ's cross? Does your cross heavier? I'm sure it is not. But it is. It may be heavy. But it's not as heavy as the cross that Job carried. When it is hard, let us pray for strength to endure, not for the easy cross, not for the easy life, we must respond with faith to the good providence of the good God. Because no matter what, ultimately, it is only good for you. So how we ought to receive and respond to the providence of God? In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, Paul says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. And the difference between Christian and non-Christian is the way we face and respond to the providence of God. When afflictions and tragedy come, when we face disappointments and failures, when people falsely accuse you, when a spouse commits adultery or files a divorce, when we are diagnosed with terminal disease, or we lose loved ones. You know, sometimes we do face these things, and some of it we will face. God says, give thanks in all circumstances. So how do you respond? You respond like Job. You respond like your Lord. Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. Yes, he mourned. And there is a room for mourning. But he mourned with hope because he worshipped God. So the difference between Christian and non-Christian is how we react to God's providence. Do you continue to worship in the midst of your pain? Or you just, well, that's too heavy for me. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to worship God. I'm not going to be faithful to my cross and to my Christ. In the midst of pain and affliction, do you continue to serve people, neighbors, and co-workers in your church? Because in His providence, you are in the perfect spot where God wants you to be right now. This is your field to serve. So let us not be anxious. Let us not complain. But let us rest in our Redeemer like Job did. Let us serve faithfully in your calling while we are able to serve. And you may go through difficult things in this season of your life. And again, I want to repeat, this is good providence of God, appointed by Him. And God calls you to rest. Rest in Him. Don't focus on your pain. Don't focus on your afflictions, on your sufferings. You will find no comfort there. But fix your eyes and focus on Christ, your Redeemer. God says that He is the one who gives goodwill and also hardens evil hearts. So even the rejection of the providence of God is the providence of God. You see the point? Even when you reject the providence of God, it is the providence of God. So don't reject it. It may not look favorable. Be faithful, because God gave it to you, because He loves you and cares for you, and He has a wonderful plan for you. Mourn with hope. Worship your Lord like Job did. No matter what, the Lord will take care of you, as He always did, and He will lead you through this difficult time to His glory, for His glory, and He will shame the world and the devil once again. So, people of God, with this assurance, let us go and face boldly what God's providence come, whatever God's in His providence bring to our life, let us face it boldly. And in the midst of all of this, serve God while we are able. Amen.